Hello and welcome back to the Extended Philosophy Podcast. Today we continue our discussion of Aristotle, which we started in the previous few episodes. If you missed that, perhaps you want to go back and start at the beginning of this series. The point is that we try to see how we can use Aristotle's philosophy in order to live better and more fulfilling lives in our world. Today, this is part of a longer experiment where we will try out 6 different philosophies of life. We will later talk about Epicurus. We will talk about gratefulness. We will talk about Stoicism. And we will try to see how we can utilize these different philosophies in order to improve our lives. So thank you for being here, and let's begin. Aristotle emphasizes that in order to be happy, we need this quality that he calls phronesis, which means the ability to know how to use our virtues correctly in our everyday lives, so that we can always benefit both ourselves and those around us. If you find this a little confusing or difficult to understand, feel free to go back. The previous episodes explain more about that. For Aristotle, benefiting oneself is necessarily connected to benefiting others. Selfishness leads nowhere, since we can only advance in our humanity by exercising our virtues. And for this, we need others who will give us opportunities to exercise our virtues, to be honest, to be kind, brave, patient, and so on. We grow and we become happier and more complete human beings by being morally good, by being good to others. But how do we learn the skills required to benefit others in the first place? How do we learn phronesis, that ability to judge what the right action is at any particular moment in our lives? Sometimes it will be better to be courageous. For example, in confronting our boss who wants to cheat with a company's tax payments. Sometimes it will be wise to do the opposite and get out of harm's way. For example, if we see a house that's burning down and we are not trained firefighters, we should probably stay away so that we don't make things worse. How do we know which situation calls for which action? That's what phronesis or practical wisdom is for. Now, how do we acquire this wisdom? Think of someone you know who seems to be very experienced and who most of the time acts in the right way in the face of difficult challenges. How did they acquire this skill? First, of course, it is age and experience. Aristotle says clearly that a child does not have practical wisdom. Children can be virtuous, they can be brave or kind, but they never seem to quite know how to apply these virtues in practice. As a result, they are sometimes too brave and endanger themselves, or too kind, and then they are taken advantage of, or they are too honest and they hurt others without intending or realizing it. But age alone does not equal wisdom. Imagine you compare an old man who has always been sitting in one office, pushing paperwork from one side of his desk to the other, with a younger but much more active person. A young journalist who has been traveling the world, reporting from wars and places of famine and disaster. Who will have more phronesis, more practical wisdom? Likely, it will be the younger one. So it is experience that counts, and the ability to actually learn from experience, rather than just biological age. The village and the world. Now imagine an old person in a remote mountain village somewhere in a developing country. They have lived there all their life, a good life as an honest, hard-working member of their small community. But they have never learned to read and write, never left that village, and they never cared to learn anything about the wider world outside that village. Do they have the skill of being good to themselves and to others? Can they be truly happy people? We would not hesitate to say yes. If their whole world is that one village, and if they manage to live a good, happy and useful life inside that smaller world, then why shouldn't they be considered truly happy? They don't know what they are missing, and they don't even know that they are missing something. As long as they don't leave their village, their happiness can be complete. But for most of us, things don't work out like that. Our worlds are all connected to each other, and they are also constantly changing. I am, for example, a Greek-German sitting in a village outside Hong Kong and recording this mostly for US and British listeners. I cannot do what I'm doing without constantly crossing over from the ancient Greek world of Aristotle to the problems of a contemporary US citizen and back, using my own life experience acquired as a Greek child, a German student, and an English professor in an Asian university. And the same will be true for most of you to some extent. But we don't always recognize how important it is to have the right set of virtues for each of these worlds we find ourselves in. Imagine your grandmother trying to come to terms with social media or with online dating. Or imagine yourself having to navigate the complex social relationships in an African village. Or an Amazonian tribesman suddenly transported into a New York or Tokyo high school. Or a Tokyo high school student suddenly transported to a director's board meeting of an international bank. Obviously, each of these places has its own rules, its own ways of working as a social environment, and also totally different virtues that are relevant to its occupants. The courage of an African villager confronting a lion will be of little use in a Tokyo school. And a banker's smooth navigating of the social environment of a boardroom will be useless on the banks of the Amazon River. Even the same person in the same environment, one's grandparents, for example, can be unable to deal with the everyday world of just 5 decades later. Internet bubbles. Realizing how limited our knowledge of the world is requires us to look outside the borders of our bubble. Many of us live our whole lives like villagers who never leave their little huts in the mountains, or like hobbits who never leave the Shire, oblivious to the larger world outside. But if we are serious about maximizing our human potential, if we really want to grow as human beings, we will need to leave behind our Shire and go on the long journey to get to know the wider world all around us. The internet has had both the effect of potentially bringing that wider world within the reach of every one of us, but also, strangely, of making it harder for us to actually access that world. When I pick up my phone, Google will recommend to me only what it knows me to like. When I fire up YouTube, all suggested videos will be the same stuff that I've been watching over the past few days and weeks. And the same applies to Amazon, Netflix, and every other recommendation engine. All of the internet's AI actually conspires to keep my horizon limited to the handful of items that I've already liked in the past without ever presenting me with anything new. For Aristotle, this would be the death of human development. A little village of our own making, into which we get locked forever, unable ever to make any new experiences, to leave, to go out and see something new and surprising, something that will make us grow and become better and wiser human beings. The recommendation algorithms, instead of being helpful guides across the vast information landscapes of the internet, have become the guardians of our own individual, tiny prison cells. If you have been playing along with the series, you know how this works. We have at the end of this episode a section on how to apply this. And normally this will be one weekend, but you're not limited to the weekend. You can do this whenever it suits you, or you can just omit these sections entirely. In case you want to try it this weekend, let's try to smash those prison walls. If we want to develop fully as human beings, according to Aristotle, we will have to reclaim some of the freedom and spontaneity of old times, some of the serendipity of discovering new things. Ray Bradbury, whom you probably have heard of, a beloved writer of science fiction stories, describes what he liked about strolling through libraries. He wrote, "I use a library the same way I've been describing the creative process as a writer. I don't go in with lists of things to read. I go in blindly and reach up on shelves and take down books and open them and fall in love immediately. And if I don't fall in love that quickly, I shut the book, back on the shelf, find another book, and fall in love with that. You can only go with loves in this life." To recreate this feeling of finding things at random, we need to escape the cages our algorithmic minders are building up all around us. Let's try then this weekend to break out. Try to expose yourself to media that you are normally being shielded from. Seek out videos on YouTube, movies on Netflix, music on iTunes, books on Amazon that you would never watch, never listen to, never read. Try a terrible 1960s science fiction movie. Or how about an hour-long documentary about African music available on YouTube? Johann Sebastian Bach's Goldberg Variations. 10 minutes on how to knit a beanie. A novel on a historical battle in the Middle Ages. A whole YouTube channel on collecting stamps. The possibilities are endless. Even more, you could try to place yourself in the shoes of someone else and live another different life for a few hours. Write a long diary entry of a fictional day lived as the King of France in 1415, or a day in the life of a Sri Lanka fisherman, or an astronaut on the way to the moon. Research their lives, learn how they lived or live. Imagine how things felt to them and what they saw at every moment, what they thought as they lived through their typical day. Phronesis, the knowledge of how to always act well, is a skill that needs a lifetime to perfect. But it is never too late to take the first step. If you like this episode, then you might want to check out dailyphilosophy.com. This is daily-philosophy.com, where you will find a philosophy magazine with many dozens of authors writing articles about philosophy topics and how to apply philosophy to life. You can also find a free weekly newsletter which you can subscribe to so that you get articles like this one into your mailbox every weekend. Thank you and see you next week. Bye-bye.